Good morning, everyone. So good to see you in this beautiful, and cozy, and warm and sanctuary. And I pray that we will be touched by the warmth of God's presence through His Holy Spirit this morning. NASA was interviewing professionals to be sent to Mars. Only one could go, but it would be a one-way journey. Despite this stipulation, there were three applicants. First up was a naturalist. When asked how much he wanted to be paid for going, he answered, $1 million, because I want to donate it to the World Wildlife Fund. When asked the same question, the next applicant, a doctor, replied, $2 million. I want to give $1 million to my family and leave the other million for the advancement of medical research. The last applicant was a lawyer. When asked how much money he wanted for going to Mars, he whispered in the interviewer's ear, $3 million. Why so much more than the others? Queried the interviewer. The lawyer replied, if you give me $3 million, I'll give you $1 million, I will keep $1 million, and we can send the naturalist. This earth is filled with all kinds of drama and troubles. And there will not be conflict and strife on Mars, since no humans live there. But going to Mars is not a feasible option. It is extremely difficult and incredibly costly, and survival for a lifetime is impossible, at least for now. Living on the Earth is a better choice. And we'd rather be content here on Earth. Put this in perspective. This is not how we approach problematic situations. When we are displeased with our own circumstances, we try to escape and find satisfaction somewhere else. Against our wish, our escapism leads to another unsatisfying condition. Even if we spend our entire life trying to find contentment, we will still find a displeasing reason or reasons. Sometimes, when we regret the current situation, we reminisce about the good old days and want to go back. But we cannot reverse the natural course of life that moves in one fixed direction. The Apostle Paul teaches us that contentment does not come from a satisfying condition or a place, but from our attitude. Our situation does not have to be changed for us to be happy, but our attitude. In Philippians 4, Paul said this, I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Let us reflect upon Paul's secret of being content. Paul mentioned contentment 4 times in his letters. That appears twice in Philippians chapter 4, we just read, and twice in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Since we read the chapter 4 of Philippians, let me read Paul's word from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Consider the time frame when Paul spoke of contentment. Paul wrote Philippians when he was under house arrest in Rome, and his situation was not something to be content with. In the chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul left some hints about his condition in Rome. He said he was in trouble and need. The people in Philippi were concerned about and shared with Paul. Actually, the people in Philippi shared with Paul more than once. At the end of the chapter, we see the name Epaphroditus, whom the Philippian church sent to Paul, supposedly with a gift to care for Paul's need. The gift Epaphroditus brought was monetary, for Paul mentioned that he received full payment, more than enough. When Paul spoke of his need, he used the plural for the word need, meaning he had multiple needs. In the second chapter of Philippians, Paul wrote more about Epaphroditus. After he came to Paul, he became gravely ill and almost died, but God healed him. And Paul said, God had mercy on Epaphroditus, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. The repetition of the word sorrow seems to indicate that Paul was already sorrowful. Paul also mentions sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi. I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Less anxiety indicates Paul's pre-existing anxiety. Therefore, while in prison in Rome, Paul experienced multiple needs, including financial need. He was troubled and in sorrow. He also suffered from anxiety. Now, the other place that Paul mentioned contentment was in 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote his second letter to 1 Timothy, there was. Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy while he was in prison. In the letter, he was speaking of his final departure. Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy when he was briefly released from imprisonment. And there is a short time gap between the 1 Timothy and the 2 Timothy. So it was 4 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Paul wrote it toward the very end of his life before he suffered the martyrdom, right? Only the short time gap. So that means when he wrote the 1 Timothy, the situation wasn't changed much. So, we can assume that between the 1 Timothy and the 2 Timothy, Paul still expected that he would suffer the martyrdom in any time soon. Regardless of his condition, Paul still talked about contentment in 1 Timothy. How could he have become content at the final stage of his life, which would likely end with martyrdom? It was because he learned the secret of being content. What secret was it? Paul clearly articulated in his letters that circumstances do not make people content. A secular report backs this up in a way. The Gallup World Poll produced the 2024 World Happiness Report, which offers much insight into how people perceive happiness. The first top 10 countries are Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Israel, Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Australia. By looking at these wealthy countries, we can guess the economy is one of the factors to rank happiness. But it is not exactly the dominating factor. If you look at Costa Rica, which is ranked 12, the Czech Republic, which ranked 18, and Lithuania, which ranked 19. Regarding GDP, the Czech Republic ranked 45th, Costa Rica ranked 71st, and Lithuania 80th. The United Kingdom ranks 20th in the world happiness, but its GDP is the 6th largest in the world. How about the US? We are the world's largest economy, but ranked 23rd in the World Happiness Report. The report is also divided by age group. The world's happiest country for people under 30 is Lithuania. If you are under 30, go try living in Lithuania and you will be happy. The U.S. ranked number 62 for those in that age group. Do not give up yet. For people over 60, Denmark is the winner and the U.S. is number 10. That's pretty good. What makes people in less privileged countries happy and those in wealthier countries not so happy? It is their attitude, for sure. Back to Paul. Paul was under arrest and his last day was drawing near. But his attitude was, I do not seek acquittal in my case. I'm not going to try to escape from prison where God has placed me. I am where God wants me to be. My heart is settled with my life's path, for God has designed it in such a way. I'm going to serve God in my current situation the best way I can. How do we usually react to disgruntled situations? This shouldn't be happening to me. I don't deserve it. I should dislodge myself from the situation and go somewhere or someone else with whom I can be happy. Escapism is our natural approach to situations with problems. But we should give it a second thought and consider whether we are running away from the cross that God has given us. Depending on our attitude, our cross can be transformed into a source of meaning and joy of life. Most of you would understand what I'm going to say. Raising three kids, little kids, was tough for Becky and I some time ago. A couple of decades ago. I wish they would grow up fast. And guess what happened? They really grew up fast. Now, looking back, I know I was happier when they were little. Escapism robs today's happiness instead of helping us to savor it. If we look deeper into our troubling situation, we can find God's reason to be happy about it. Therefore, whatever the life circumstance we are in, however we understand it, we sure can find reasons to rejoice in the Lord today. We just need the right attitude. Billy Graham, in his autobiography, Just As I Am, wrote the following. Ruth and I stayed on an island in the Caribbean. One of the wealthiest men in the world asked us to come to his lavish home for lunch. He was 75 years old, and throughout the entire meal, he seemed close to tears. "I am the most miserable man in the world," he said. "Out there is my yacht. I can go anywhere I want to. I have my private plane and my helicopters. I have everything I want to make my life happy, yet I am as miserable as hell." We prayed with him, trying to point him to Christ, who alone gives lasting meaning to life. Later that afternoon, we met with the pastor of a local Baptist church. He was an Englishman. He too was 75, a widower who spent most his time taking care of his two invalid sisters. He was full of enthusiasm and love for Christ and others. "I don't have 2 pounds to my name," he said with a smile, "but I am the happiest man on this island." Billy asked Ruth after they left, "Who do you think is the richer man?" She did not have to reply because they both already knew the answer. The two men were of the same age, living on the same island. One man had everything his heart desired, but felt miserable. And the other was not well off as much, but was burdened heavily with his sisters. However, he regarded himself as the happiest man, all because of his different attitude. Now, we do not want to miss the critical point in Paul's exhortations. See how Paul repeated and stressed on rejoicing? He did not just say, "Rejoice," but he said, "Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord." Yes, we do have troubling circumstances in which rejoicing does not make sense from a human perspective. But Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord." Rejoicing may not make sense from a human perspective, but it does make a perfect sense from God's perspective. With the eyes of faith, each day of our life is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice. Where Jesus is, it is heaven. And we can be content right now, right here, all because Jesus is with us. Amen.